Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Bigamex Radio Podcast. Yes, if you're watching on YouTube, the background's a little different than usual. We'll get into that a little bit later. But I'm your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, a very special guest of mine and somebody that I love to have on the podcast because of his analysis and just the way we click when talking about the great sport of motocross, supercross, or in the overarching, the massive series of Super Motocross World Championship. Zach Herron, otherwise known as Herron Dane. Welcome back to the podcast.
What's up, man? Long time no see. I'm glad to be back. And we were just saying it off camera, man. I think we're going to give an analysis. We're going to give a prediction, and we're both probably going to be wrong because I think there's going to be a lot of shakeups throughout this year. I'm excited to kind of break it down.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. This is going to be a lot of fun. And just any time that we get an opportunity to sort of break down the sport, I'm here for it. You and I, typically, we're usually breaking down arena cross, the friendly confines, the tight quarters of arena cross. We missed the opportunity to talk about rounds 4 and 5. But do we just kind of like, do we scratch at that a little bit or just move straight into supercross?
Man, I'll give you the run end. It was 3 and 4. 3 and 4 are in the rear view.
Right.
So we'll pick up with 5 and 6 the first weekend of the new year. But yeah, I mean, it's been fireworks just like we know arena cross can be. And I mean, I think Vince Freese has done Vince Freese things. And
He's
I'm not
made his
talking about
mark.
what you think I'm talking about. I'm talking about good starts, good execution in the whoops, and consistency. And so yeah, he's the man to beat right now. I'm not even really going to touch the contact. If you know, you know. I think that was a standard arena cross pass, and any rider that wants to be on the top step of the podium is going to do the same thing. So, no, it's been exciting. I think there's a lot more drama and excitement to come for the rest of the season. But, yeah, man, it's going to be good. Some of these guys are going to be lining up at Anaheim 1 as well. So, you never know. That might play a role in my series as well.
It certainly will. Yeah, it's all going to come together. So I'm really excited about the 2025, and I can't believe we're at 2025 already.
Crazy.
First of all, feels like 2020 was like 8 minutes ago. That's now half a decade in the rearview mirror. But we have two amazing classes. A lot of guys are healthy. We haven't had too many like posts from the practice tracks where guys are ended up like doing a wrist or something like that. Although, knock on wood, and I am my desk is made of solid oak, that we haven't had any issues with someone putting their wrist on backwards or hitting their head too hard. Let's get into it. We're going to go straight into the 450 class. We're not going to save the best for last. We're going to get straight into Honda HRC, which was requested by the great Lars Lindstrom, the crew chief and basically like the big boss of the hot sauce over at Factory Honda. Because there's a lot of other podcasts out there, Zach, that would make you wait to the very end in order to get to the Lawrence Brothers. We're not those guys. We're going to go straight into it, and the analysis is going to be as crispy as my 2005 KX252 stroke. So moving straight into Honda HRC, it's Jet Lawrence, it's Hunter Lawrence. We have brothers racing in the 450 class. This is the second year. This is a new motorcycle, but we have a defending champion. He's going to have the number one on his motorcycle all season long. No more rookie mistakes from Jet, right?
No more rookie mistakes, but does that mean no more mistakes? You know, it's one of those, I think with Jet, it's a situation where when you're at the top, there's nowhere else to go but down. And so all of the analysis that I've seen of them, the criticisms, they're extreme, right? If you're not on the top, then you're quote unquote failing, if you will. You're going backwards. And so Jet's in a tough spot. I know it's obvious, it's clear that he thrives under pressure, but yeah, he's going to be the guy for all of 2025. And we've, like you said, got a lot of healthy competitors that I think are chomping at the bit a little bit this year, more so. I mean, you know, we'll touch more on it, but Eli Tomac, he said he feels like he's in a better position this year than he was last year. Cooper Webb, obviously we've seen him really firing in the offseason, which is not typically when we see Cooper Webb showing, you know, showing everybody what's up. So maybe that's going to get him fired up. I think It's going to be tough. And we've got to touch on Chase Sexton as well. I think he's probably the guy with the biggest bone to pick with the number one right now. And so, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. And what's so funny is, you know, you could tell me that Jet's not going to have any of those mistakes. He's going to, I'm not necessarily going to say perfect, but he's going to dominate both seasons and walk away champion in both series again. And I got to say, maybe. Like, that's not something where I can be like, you can't say that it's 100% a possibility, but I don't necessarily think that it's a probability. I think we're going to see the sport elevate to Jet's level a little bit. We've seen the technique kind of start to even change to those top riders throughout the last few years. I think it's going to be, he's going to have his hands full. And the one of the riders that I think has got to be in the discussion now to bring the fight to Jet is his brother, Hunter Lawrence. He's arguably my rider to watch. I think seeing the comfort that he got at the end of SMX last year, you know, I heard it in another podcast to think that he missed a main event at the first race in Supercross and then was holding the red plate at one point at the end of SMX. That's about as much growth as you can get. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think a lot of the tail of the season starts in those first two races. I know everybody says, hey, it's a slow season. They've got to build into it. But I think the momentum and the drive throughout the whole season, man, those guys that have the first two bad races, they're deflated for the rest of the season. I know they're trying, but it's just things just don't seem to build on their side. Whereas those guys that start strong, even if they don't always find themselves on the podium, they're inside that top five to stay in the fight. So I got big expectations for both of the Honda guys. I know their team obviously has been working very hard. I think the closeness of the brothers and it being essentially a family there at HRC is going to help with the new bike because I think there's going to be a lot of open communication. But yeah, we're just going to have to wait and see. I know they've been working really hard since those off-season races, making some tweaks and you know, hopefully dialing things in a little bit more, but only time will tell.
Certainly, and that's why we race these races. When it comes to the Lawrence brothers, for me, I see a lot of similarities to not only Jeremy McGrath and the fact that he wins a lot of races, but Jeremy McGrath had a sort of a calming factor that built a bass drum behind it all that kept him grounded, kept him moving forward, and the sight set on where it needs to be, and that was Jack McGrath. Now we have Darren Lawrence. Now he is the spoon that stirs the drink over at the Lawrence compound. He's a no-nonsense guy. He's a hardworking individual, and he expects professionalism from both of his sons. And that's honestly, I think, has been the linchpin to both of his sons enjoying the amount of success that they've had to date. And I think that's why they're going to continue to enjoy a lot of success. The fact that you're going to have a lot of races this year that have not one but two Lawrence brothers on the podium is honestly it's a lot to contend with because if they both get great starts, if you're one of the racers that's not on that team, it's essentially a two-headed monster. You have two guys who they very really understand how to ride together. They're used to riding in tight formation. They take care of each other. They race each other extremely clean. And honestly, I really like their off season. I like what these guys have been able to do. They've done a few of those off season races. They were obviously very successful in the very first time that Australia wins Motocross the Nations. Congratulations to them. And then they go ahead and they race Paris, they race Oz X, and then it's done. They have been able to go nose down, ass up at the Lawrence compound, getting this brand new bike figured out for Supercross. Yes, there's going to be some teething problems with their teething pains with that bike, as there is with every single manufacturer and every single model year when it's brand new. But I still think they're going to be able to tackle that with stride. And here's the thing when it comes to Honda. If you have riders that are open-minded to making those changes, there is not a team with a bigger budget or more resources to put the proper motorcycle underneath you. So if you have a rider who's willing to work with the team, you're with guys like Lars Lindstrom, guys like Shane Drew, that's a recipe for success. They've got a lot of great people over there.
Yeah, without question. Like I said, I think the kind of general vibe, if you will, or feeling around that Honda tent is a family. It doesn't quite feel like a team the way they or just like a team? Obviously, these guys are close, but I don't know, just being around them, it's definitely, I think, a comforting environment. And like you said, I think the father figure that Dazzy plays, not only for the boys, but for a lot of the team. He's such a good communicator, and he's so good at explaining things. I genuinely feel like everybody kind of leans on him on that team to a point. So, yeah, I think there's some high expectations, as is there with, moving on to Star Yamaha, a bigger lineup this year, as if they didn't have enough riders. Now moving up to a full 450 team with four different riders, I think these guys are fired up. I'll put it like that. I think Eli
As they
Tomac,
should
Cooper
be.
Webb, yeah, I think they are really looking to come out swinging. They kind of, based off of what I've heard about Bobby Reagan, he's got a little bit of a, man, I want to show them. Like, he's got a cockiness, but it's like, I want to show you that we are better than you. I want to beat you. Not just we're going to go out there and do the best. I want to win. And I think that's something that we've obviously seen the success that Cooper Webb has had under the Star Empire before. I think he's a little more comfortable, it seems like. I do, like we said, those off-season races aren't usually where we see Cooper shine. He seems to be very comfortable. Eli Tomac, we've seen him chirping with some people back and forth on social media. Some clips have been
You don't see
posted.
that a lot. I think someone
Yeah,
must have grabbed Eli's phone. I don't know,
that's
man.
rare. And so I like
Getting
it.
into the
I'm gonna
holiday sauce a little early and
And
just
who knows, man, but I'm feeling it. And so yeah, I hope he carries that same kind of, yeah, what's up bravado type attitude into A1, and they're gonna need it. I mean, I think the target right now is on Jett Lawrence, deservingly so. And these guys both have felt pressure, the pressure of being the targeted rider before, and they probably envy that feeling a little bit for Jett, because the best guys want that target. So we'll see. And then, you got to talk about obviously Christian Craig, and then I think Justin Cooper is going to have a lot more solid rides as well. I think he in both indoors and outdoors, we saw him make some big steps forward, really start to. I personally think it's a bit of a belief thing with Justin. Like, I feel like when he gets up there, he sees that he can do it, but it's being able to consistently put it up there. And those top guys, they make it happen. Even if they don't get the start, they find a way. And so I think we could see some things out of Cooper. I don't know whether we will, but I believe that we could. And so, and then, Craig, we've seen on social media, he seems pretty comfortable back on the Star bike. So,
he's
interested to
just
see
gonna
what
look
we'll,
good.
yeah,
Christian
God, just,
Craig is just gonna look so
dude.
good on the motorcycle,
If I could look
box
like one
racing.
person riding a motorcycle, it's probably Christian Craig or Josh Grant, but I'm a lot more close size wise to Christian Craig. So the God, the style is just insane.
Yeah, no, we're going Fox Racing head to toe. Absolutely unreal. You know that the design team over at Fox is going to have him absolutely styling. And then you throw in Kenny Day as well as Matt Mora over there, making sure that he's looking just absolutely tits every single weekend. And then you happen to inject his signature style. Like, everyone talks about how good his old man looked on the bike. I think it's literally a completely separate entity. Yes, they are related, but Christian Craig has just like he has such a fluidity to his movements on the motorcycle. It's like he's in slow motion, even when he happens to be top step of the podium as far as fastest qualifier. And you're totally right. This Yamaha team packs a serious punch. It is not crazy to think that all four of these guys are going to be at the very top of time qualifying sometime throughout this next year. And honestly, somebody who might be at the top set more frequent than the other three is Justin Cooper. That guy can throw down a heater like no tomorrow. Will he turn that into successful races, heat races, and end up on the podium more often than not in the main events? That's yet to be seen, but honestly, the first step is going faster and qualifying. That's how you get a good gate pick. That's how you're able to get good heat race results. And that's just going to bleed into the rest of your weekend. So I'm really excited to see what we're going to get from Justin Cooper. Now, before we move over to the green machines, you and I, big fans of the Quackers, we got to talk about your hat, man. That is one stylish looking lid you got.
Yeah, man. My man Gary over at Mesquite MX, Gary Bruff and the whole family. We were out there for the Thanksgiving Classic, man, having a good time, and so much fun that we decided we were coming back as quick as we could. And so, yeah, I know it's already circled on my calendar. First weekend in April, we're going to be rocking out for the World Mini GP. I was able to be a part of it last year. There's very few races nowadays where you can get 6 foot plus trophies, you know, that you're bringing home. You get your access to free photos and videos. It's an experience, man. And I mean, Gary, and what was interesting was last year's World Mini was the first time being out at Mesquite, and Verbmoto's obviously got a huge part of that as well. And it was run, you know, we joked around saying Swiss watch companies say they run like Mesquite MX. It was so smooth. And I was curious to see whether it was just like that for that event or if it was like that for all of the Brough races. And man, the
Every
Thanksgiving
day,
was,
twice on
oh
Sunday.
my gosh, it is beautiful. You come into the property, you know, Thursday or Friday, and you know exactly what time you're lining up on Sunday. You know exactly what is going on for the whole event. And
And
it's,
you're going to get your track time.
yes, yeah, and it's not like a shortening of anything. You don't get gypped. There's no lap cutting. There is absolutely no shortcuts taken whatsoever. And so, yeah, if you're in the Mesquite area, if you're not in the Mesquite area, this is one of those ones where I say it's worth the trip. It's an event. It's a spectacle. Verbmoto does a great job. Obviously, they got cameras out there. They're getting great footage and photos. And then the event itself is fun. I know talking with Gary at our last race, you know, they're looking to do some more off-track stuff to get it even more exciting and have a good time. It's one of those ones that's worth checking out.
Yeah, no, for sure. When you go to a Verb event, you're going to end up in front of a camera owned by somebody who has filmed with the likes of James Stewart, Ken Roczen, Carson Brown, you name it. If they've had a Red Bull logo on the side of their helmet, those guys have filmed with them, and then you're going to end up in front of their lens. And then, yeah, at some point, Crane is going to edit it and end it up on YouTube. But yeah, it's pretty exciting to be able to be a part of that. I have been putting a bug in the ear of not only Gary, but also Brent Stallo over at Verb. I've got a verbal thumbs up. And you as well as I know that means absolutely fucking nothing, but we are gonna do our best to be in attendance for the 2025 World Mini. I'd love to be there, and if Verb West is watching this, then I think he already promised to chug me off. So we need to make that happen. Let's move straight into the green machines. Let's talk about Kawasaki's. That like I'm gonna let you take the floor on this because you own a current Kawasaki. I have the Kawasaki's from yesteryear. You are the authority.
Yeah, I guess if the 2023 edition is the most recent, then yeah,
Still
I'll
open
take
for
the floor.
contingency, I believe.
I believe so. If I ever raced, maybe I'd get some. But yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting season for Kawasaki, and I think anybody that doesn't say that is kind of lying. I do think there's some question marks. We all know Jason Anderson is a more than capable rider. I think the level, like we talked about, has had to have raised just a little bit. I think things are having to be done to match the pace of Jet. You know, we see how fit people like Chase are. We see just the things that are required now for consistent success. And you have to wonder whether or not Jason Anderson is taking those risks or not. And I'm not criticizing, you know, I get it. He's done a lot in this sport. I know people have talked about how much longer he's going to be around, whether he's moving from Kawasaki or not, but he's one of those riders where he could easily go out there and win. It is 100% possible. If there's a guy who has incredible technicality on a bike that doesn't get talked about enough, it's Jason Anderson. The guy is incredibly skilled on a bike.
Smooth
So,
operator as
oh
well.
man, I mean, like butter. And so we'll see, but we'll see is about the only thing that I can say. Jorge Prado, I'm hoping that Kawasaki has reasonable expectations. You know, what those are is between Kawasaki and Jorge himself. I think he showed some potential last year. I think a lot of people, myself included, were surprised with how consistent he was able to stay where he was. But the gap between the backside of the top 10, you know, to even just the top five, consistently talking about a top five, that's harder now than it's ever been in the sport. And so being a little behind the eight ball, we know he had a crash, he got a concussion, had to spend some time off the bike. Whether anything's broken or not, it doesn't sound like. You got to wonder how those rumors started, but banged up or not, concussions are serious. I'm sure everybody's taking the right protocols with that, but you got to wonder what he's going to look like when he gets out there. Hopefully, I think the best thing for him and Kawasaki is to accept the probability of a slow roll. I'm not saying we can't see some big things by the end of the year, end of the season, but I don't think anybody's sitting there saying we're going to light the candles at Anaheim. You know what I mean? So that's what we'll see, man. I ride a Cowie. I like Cowies, man. I think, you talked about the Fox combos and breaking out some great looking kits. Obviously, Jorge and them have teamed
The
up for
pink,
some. God, it looks good. God, it looks good. But
I need to get some. I don't know who
yeah.
I need. I don't know how much weight I need to lose. I don't know
A
what
lot to
needs
look
to
like
happen.
Jorge.
Oh, he is slim and trim, and I am neither one of those. Although we're working on it. I think I actually don't have my bathroom scale anywhere in proximity, but I think we are below 200 pounds for the first time in quite some time.
Nice.
Let's just get real about our analysis of Team Kawasaki. First of all, I think you said going to be a very interesting year. Jason Anderson is as capable as anybody that we're going to talk about during this podcast to win races, win Supercross races throughout the 31-round Super Motocross Championship. He can win on any night he shows up. He's that talented. Now we've talked about seven different riders aside from Jorge Prado. To this point in the podcast, we have not mentioned Justin Barcia, Chase Sexton, Aaron Plessinger, or Malcolm Stewart. There is an argument to be made that every single one of those guys on their best night can end up in front of them. That's that.
That's the theme of the season,
100%.
you could genuinely take the top 8 to 9 riders and say in a week's difference they flip-flop entirely. It is 100% possible. And I would love to see at the end of the year what the
About who shows
biggest
up with the
stat
juice,
is
man.
as far as from moto to moto, week to week, how much these riders flip-flop around, because these guys are, I mean, we're talking splitting hairs as far as the difference at the very top. So yeah, it's gonna be the consistency. It's one of those things where, very similar to the GNCC series last year, where we had, seven different racers in the first seven races win races, and then an
That's
eighth racer at
wild.
the end of the year. And it's like, that's essentially your entire XC1 starting row. And when you get to that, it starts to become less about who can win and more about who cannot get the seventh or eighth. Those guys that are stacking seconds and thirds by the end of the season, it's like, wait a second. They're actually, because that guy that won two, but then he got a ninth, and then he crashed and got a tenth 1 week, he's out just like that. So I
Why you gotta
think that's
call out
going
Stu Baylor like that, man?
to. Now, whoa, wait a second. I did not say anything of the such, Mr. Stewart, sir. Man just showed up to practice in a caddy limo. I'm not talking trash on that. He's full factory now.
Fair enough. He was looking way too prim and proper for the
Dude,
banquet,
he
though.
was, yeah, I had to pull my chick aside and be like, quit fucking staring at him. Like, he's
No
all
doubt.
dappered up, man. He got the shave and go walking around with his cute little kid. He was like, dude, what the hell? And
Yeah.
so now
But
it's,
he still has to get like absolutely buck wild for New Year's, and that's only in like 12 days from now. So how is he going to be a mountain man in 10 days?
I don't know. I feel like he could probably put on some mean mountain man aspects in 10 days if he really wanted to.
Fair
He's not
enough.
gonna bathe. He's out there just cutting trail at the shoals, just putting in work. And so yeah, it's
I think it's too late for him to buy me a flight.
not to go full GNCC style, but
Yeah.
it's going to get interesting next year with Caleb returning for
Oh
that.
yeah,
It's
coming
going to be
back
serious.
with some swagger and some confidence, I might add.
Dude, that guy oozes it. And quite honestly, hearing some of his interviews as far as how
Yeah.
unhappy he's
Oh, his
been.
interview on Pulp, he's like, "Nah, I'm coming
Yeah.
back to kick ass."
Well, and hearing kind of, there's some of those between the lines comments where you really know who he's working with, and some of those aspects. I think there's a point to be proved for Caleb, and I'm fully believing that he's capable of doing it. So we will very
Love to
much see.
see it.
Johnny Girard's a sicko too, though. So yeah, it's gonna be a battle. Speaking of Girard, the KTM group, we'll jump to them next.
Let's do it.
Obviously Chase Sexton and Aaron Plessinger, very friendly face duo, man. Crowd loves them. Both these guys, absolute professionals. Aaron Plessinger, I think I would love to see Aaron do well. I think we've actually seen Aaron improve over this last 2 years or so to where he's grabbed some wins in it, and I don't know that anybody saw that coming. And so I don't know. Maybe we see the number seven get there and show what he's capable of, making it all the way to the end. I think he's had some flashes early, but it's the middle part of the race, bringing it all the way to the finish, that he's got to get better on. For Chase Sexton, you got to get it done. I don't really think there's any other way to put it for Chase. He's at a point where he needs to show what he's got. He needs to get back into the fight. We've obviously heard the talks of how happy he is with the bike and the training and everything like that. And it's so hard to tell because what you see publicly, and then you can trust 20% of what you hear privately. And so, excuses, problems, whatever. Chase Sexton's got to show up. Chase Sexton's got to make something happen. And like I said, first 2 to 3 races, he's got to strike. He's got to keep Jet within sight, and he can't start letting this thing inch away from him, because the margin for error is smaller now than it's ever been. So I think there's some expectation for Chase Sexton. I think there's a lot of reasonable hope for Aaron Plessinger, as far as I easily could see him getting on podiums regularly, but I'd love to see the Cowboy on top. So that's what I got for the Orange Brigade. What are you thinking?
Honestly, I think both these guys are poised to have really, really good seasons. Unfortunately for Chase, a really, really good season might not be satisfying for him. And that just speaks volumes to what he expects from himself and also what he's capable of and what he knows he's capable of. We've already talked about some extremely talented individuals on this podcast so far. He is certainly one of them. I see him as the leader of team of the Orange Riders, the KTM factory Red Bull Racing over there. I think I actually feel bad that there is going to be probably a lot of turmoil in and around some of the autograph signings. I'm sure there's going to be some stupid fans that ask about like the financial stability or the like what are you guys going to do down the road? Like they're going racing. Like the corporate financials of the peer group has nothing to do with how things are running for Chase Sexton and Aaron Plessinger. I actually do think it's kind of interesting the dynamic that Chase Sexton is now going to have Jay Dungey as his race mechanic, which would, of course, was Aaron Plessinger's mechanic for the better part of a couple of years there. So obviously, like someone else going to be under the tent. Kyle DeFoe no longer over there at all over at KTM. He was going to go motor department, and then essentially there was some downsizing within that. So he's no longer there. So Aaron working with somebody new, but this is a platform that's proven. This is a platform that's won races under both of these racers. And when it comes to Chase Sexton, it depends on who shows up. Like not to, I'm not gonna like say here, like it comes to down to a mental side, but he is absolutely 100% capable of winning on any night. He is also capable of making some mistakes late in races, and it's happened before. If he can clean that up, he's absolutely a threat. If he can't, he's gonna have more than a few weekends where he heads back to the truck and throws the helmet down.
I just, like I said, I think the margin for error is so small right now with these guys, and the difference between a first and a sixth could be the smallest of mistakes. Like it's not even a tip over anymore. A tip over could be the difference between first and tenth. And so, it's one of these things where these guys have to in a way, they've got to push the limits like never before, but they've also got to restrict themselves from taking unnecessary risks more than ever before, because the punishment for those when they go wrong is greater than it's ever been. We moving to kind of the cousin, if you will, of KTM Husky,
The white
Malcolm,
KTMs, as I call them.
exactly, Malcolm Stewart, kind of the lone soldier over there now, and he's another rider where I think a few years ago we could have said, hey, Malcolm's got the speed, he's got the ability to go and steal a win. I'm not saying that it's impossible now, but if I'm being 100% honest, I don't know. I don't know if I think it's in the cards. I think these guys, between Cooper, Eli, both of the Lawrences, I mean, there's just not enough room. There's only three spots on the podium. And so.
I'll cut right through the bullshit for you. I think Malcolm Stewart, Justin Barcia, and Christian Craig are gonna battle like a motherfucker all season long, and there's nothing wrong with that.
And that's what I mean. I think it's kind of like what you said about Chase. I think for a lot of these guys, they're going to have great seasons and they're going to walk away looking at the chart going, what? Like, I rode like this all year long and this is what I got. And I mean, somebody's got to finish sixth on the season. Somebody's got to finish ninth,
Yeah,
And I don't think the guys
none of
that
these
will
guys
are going
train thinking
to,
about eighth. None of them.
exactly. And so, that's not a dig at Malcolm. I still think he's a badass. I think he's got a ton of ability, but it's just, the consistency aspect of it, and the you got to get out early. You got to be
Yep.
able to make a statement in those first few races. I don't know. And I mean, Barcia, I can't necessarily say the same thing for, because the guy's won like 9 million A1s. So
Yeah.
who the hell knows? He's got some kind of
Bike
weird
looks
mojo.
good though.
Yes, no, I'm
Like
excited to see what the team's
the
able to do.
TLD gear. I'm surprised he stayed on TLD because he was Alpine Star for basically now
For
no longer part of that team. Like that was actually a big piece for him, especially with like that one Monster Cup when he was A Star's head to toe. I sort of assumed that that would be a relationship that he rekindles. Budgets are allocated over at Alpine Star with the Lawrence brothers as well as Tomac is and Anderson and Sexton for that matter. Although they also have Jorge Prado. They're stretching it thin, although they sell a lot of boots, racing kits and everything else on top of that. We haven't talked about Suzuki.
I was literally just putting it in my notes right now. I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
I'm
Hold the
like, where's
phone.
Ken Roczen at? Hold on.
We how long have we gone into this podcast? Way too long before we talk about the German. Ken Roczen, the guy is an absolute stud. He is fucking timeless. Can we just go ahead and say that? The guy is the ageless wonder. He is as good. He looks literally like you could probably just like grab photos or video from him training for the 2017 season with Honda and then just like export that, throw some yellow in the background and call it good because that's what he looks like now. The guy is an absolute powerhouse. He looks unbelievable. And we're gonna see him on that Suzuki again. HEP Racing or HEP Motorsports slash PMG, those guys like the Pipes Motorsports Group, they do an amazing job prepping that motorcycle for him. He has kind of carte blanche as far as how he'd like the bike to be, as much as they can give that to him, and they do exactly that. Ken Roczen, the 94. What do you expect?
People are going to think that it's a Suzuki joke, and it's not. But the guy's got to be comfortable on the bike. You know what I mean? Like, there's no toying around with settings, maybe little things here and there, but there's got to be an element of peace. And Ken is another one of those guys where he's very mental. I almost want to say to a spiritual level. Like he's talked multiple times about being at peace. And how, when his mind is calm, he's able to do what he needs to do. And I think this environment really seems to give him that. He's able to, do what he needs. I think he's got maybe a little bit of a chip on the shoulder, a point to prove, to show what was. I think he's him and Eli both, I think, are kind of the lone guys where we're like, man, we want to show the kid that we're still here. You know, yeah, Cooper's a little bit younger than both of them, I believe. Maybe more on that older side as well, but these guys
Well,
still
Cooper
got.
actually also turned pro late. Like he was
Yeah,
like
and that's
20.
what I mean. I'm not sure
Yeah,
exactly what the age gap is
a
there.
moto
They
couldn't
all
go
get.
by without someone mentioning that he went to college for like probably like two classes.
And so I think it's
I mean, who doesn't like
I
college
think
girls?
hey, college was fun. I enjoyed it.
There you
But
go.
I think we could see some big things out of Ken. I don't know, if I'm being honest, I haven't heard a ton as far as how he's feeling at the test track, how things are going.
He
I'm
just came
sure.
off a World Supercross championship.
Well, but that's,
The busiest offseason known to man.
Well, and I mean, I was just about to say that doesn't necessarily transfer to off-season things going well, but with him, there's not really anything to change. So it's like the ball just keeps rolling, you know? And so I think to the point of the World Supercross Championship, he's got this swagger back. You know what I mean? And old Suit Kenny, dude, that was a level of swagger the sport hadn't seen for quite a while. And so, yeah, who knows? I think,
I'd love for him to bring
would
the
you call
suit
him the
back.
spoiler? Would you call him the guy that's not talked about enough that
Oh,
has the potential
absolutely.
to be there on the big end? I don't just mean steal a
The two
win,
guys that are
like.
most slept on this list is Cooper Webb and Ken Roczen.
Yep,
That
that's who
like
my
by
other guy was.
far. Like the guys who are doubted the most and capable also of the most are those two athletes. And they also happen to like they tangle every once in a while, which is always fireworks. I'm here for that.
They both have got it's not a cockiness, it's a confidence, man. They know who they
Yeah.
are, they know what they're capable of, and they're not gonna take shit from anybody. And I
For
like
sure.
that. So
No, they both have that attitude of like, yeah, tell me I can't do it.
hey, I'm part
Tell
German and I'm
me.
from North Carolina, man. I love them
Yeah.
both. I'm all
Oh,
about it.
hell
So
yeah. Hell yeah. You're a nice little mixture there.
Yep, exactly.
Before we get off of the KTM group, like everything we said about Malcolm Barcia echoed.
I'd say it's fair, besides maybe a
Yeah.
stronger first race.
Yeah, like if I'm like out of those two,
Yeah,
if
if
I'm gonna
I'm
say who's
picking
gonna
out of those
start
two, yeah.
faster, and also like I don't know, like I like watching Justin Barcia ride. I like he him on a supercross track. He's one of the only guys. Like you know what I really like about Justin Barcia? Press day, he throws whips. When everyone else is sort of trying to shake the bike down, like every time that Eli, first of all, if Eli Tomac shows up for press day, he's essentially testing. If he
He's
shows up for
testing,
president, it's
yeah.
because he doesn't like his motorcycle and he's trying to work things out. I know that for a fact because I think him and Jelly would just be like basically just like having a full-on test session on press day. Meanwhile, Justin Barcia is just going like drain bolts like all day long.
Dude, Justin's—he's doing it because he loves it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there was a time where Justin was really frustrated and down, and I think between that Troy Lee team. And you know, obviously, like you said, things have changed over there under the GasGas rig, but I still think that general kind of happiness, you know, I go back to the team announcement that they did, I believe it was either last year or the year before, like the whole sketch where, you know, they picked up Ryder D and they did all this stuff. It's like, man, that's a
That was
cool
funny.
unique thing that not really any teams would do, and not a lot of riders would really do that as well. I mean it with respect, but Justin Cooper's not starring in that video. You know what I mean? Like,
Probably not. And if, but if he did, that'd be funny.
it'd be awesome.
Like
I'd
if
love
it,
it,
like
but
that video is way funnier with Justin Cooper and Joey Zavatchi in it. Like that actually would
that
be
would be great.
ridiculous.
Yeah, that would be great. But so I think Justin's happy, man. I think he enjoys throwing whips. Like, it's
Yeah.
not shocking. I've seen his drain bolt plenty of times, but I
Yeah.
never get tired of
Burr
it. I
Platinum.
never get sick of it. So
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, I think Justin's still got some speed. I just wonder on the long end whether it be a crash, whether it be, you know, a bad night, where things will be at. And we can't forget about the Beta Boys. We've got obviously Benny
Beta
Blossom and
Benny.
Mitch Beta Benny, and then Mitchell Oldenburg coming over as well. Both of these guys, curious to see, you think they're battling each other a fair amount throughout the
I do
season?
think that they kind of find each other. I wouldn't be surprised to see the two of them mixed in with Joey Savacci Dylan Ferrandis. We completely forgot to talk about Dylan Ferrandis and all this. The number 14 on Phoenix Honda will be fast throughout the year. I also predict to see Shane McElrath, who, if I'm not mistaken, will be showing up on an international supercross team, Mad Parts Kawasaki. Unless otherwise posted, I could be lying about that. But either way, yeah, Shane, Sugar Shane McElrath will more than likely be there, and he will be most likely gaming the night before and gaming the night after, and have a lot of speed in between. But yeah, if I'm having to pick, if on December 19th, about 3 weeks, 4 weeks out from Anaheim One, who do I think is going to be the dominant beta rider, the alpha beta, if you mean, if that makes sense? I think it's going to be Mitchell Oldenburg. I really like what I have, what I've seen out of Mitchell. We haven't seen him get a full season on a 450 with this level of support. So I'm excited to see it, and I do give the nod to Mitchell. I think he's got a little bit more under the hood.
Yeah, I
And
don't
also
really.
saying that, I hope that motivates Benny to prove me wrong, because Benny's got some speed as well.
And that's what I was about to say. I just wonder with Benny how much more there is, and by no means am what I saying that we have right now is bad. I think he had a really solid year, some good performances, but I don't
You can
know if
say
I see
whatever you
him.
want. I don't think he listens.
No, but regardless, I just don't know if I see him moving 3 to 4 spots up. On a consistent basis. And so Mitchell, we haven't really seen. He's got more of a question mark around him to me than Benny. So, does that turn into more speed a few weeks and then a crash, or does that turn into, consistently right there around Benny? I personally feel like they're going to be battling each other a lot. But I could very much see Oldenburg getting the upper hand. I also could see Benny, more the, I hate to say the tortoise and the hare, but more of the consistent of the two, and comes out on the long end better, even though maybe Oldenburg has one or two races that he's several spots ahead of Benny. I think maybe he has some races where he's many spots behind him as well. So,
Well,
kind
in
of
so
a,
many ways, they're the same guy. They are highly
absolutely.
touted amateur who had a lot of success and have frustrated the hell out of team managers who know they can go faster or stay healthier than they've been.
Yeah, it's I mean, I think health is going to be another big theme of the year in 450 and 250. So, yeah, I just want to kind of get, everybody's always excited for A1, and I am excited for A1, but it's also kind of like I just want to get through that first and second round, and then I kind of sit there and be like, okay, who's our players? Who's our actual contenders? Because, man, especially now, it's like throwing, covering your eyes, throwing darts at the wall. You don't really know. There's so many different ways that it could play out that you could tell me, and I'd be like, yep, 100% believe that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting as I plug in my laptop here.
Unreal. Yeah, we're going longer than we expected. Let's go straight to the 250s, and I just want to like make this comment here. If you're a graphic designer over at Feld, are you just getting all of the Hayden Deegan win ads out of the way first before you move on to other priorities? Like, you could probably save yourself some time and just kind of like pre-calculate which races he's going to be in, and then just at least have that graphic at the ready, because he's about to have one hell of a winter, or a 2025 season in general. I'm of the mind that it's going to be his last complete year on a 250. Hayden is racing west. He's declared it. He's a SoCal boy. He's going to be racing in Anaheim, San Diego, Anaheim, Phoenix before the whole place goes and heads off to, I believe it's not Tampa for round five. Yeah, it's pretty wild. But yeah, let's just start off with the guy who I think is going to be your 2025 250 West champ, Hayden Deegan. Going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, what more can you say? I mean, love him, hate him. You're stupid if you
That's
don't
not
think
going to
the
stop him from
kid is
losing.
fast as
Winning.
hell. Yeah, I mean, it's just like I am I love who he is on the motorcycle. I love the aggression that he drives with, the attitude. He's incredible in Supercross, but I mean, motocross always holds a near and dear spot to my heart, you know what I mean? And the things that Hayden was able to do outdoors, I think of that one kind of wall that he launched at Southwick, and basically, and people were like, he kind of scrubbed underneath Levi, but I don't really know that was a scrub. He was just hanging on for dear life. Like, he's just got this ready to die for it type thing that is just,
He
it's
got
so
that dog in him.
yeah, it's so attractive, man. Like, you just watch it and you're like, God, like, this kid is ready to just throw it all away. And in a lot of ways, people, he's rich, he's spoiled, blah, 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 blah. He's got a lot of things that probably are telling him, hey, you could make a lot of money doing something else. Not busting your ass every single day, not risking your life every single weekend. Like, this kid wants it. And some people say that the guy with no other choice has to really want it, but the guy with every other choice also really has to want it. And so, yeah, I think this is arguably the year of Deegan. I think if he can stay healthy, I think he's got a bulletproof mindset that may be enough to take down the rest of the class itself. Just the mind games in general, the going back and forth with riders on social media, the taking things out of other riders' interviews and then chirping them into his interviews. Like, it's beautiful. It is just a master class in mental warfare of this sport, where it's like, don't get me wrong, these guys are all badasses on a motorcycle, but some of them are a little fragile in the head. And Hayden has figured that out and
Oh
is
yeah, no,
just,
he's gonna fuck you in the mind.
he is just poking the whole time. And I love it. He doesn't let them, he's in their head on the track and off the track as well. And that is more dangerous than anything he could do on the motorcycle. So I think Hayden is the guy to beat. Anybody that says otherwise, I don't want to listen to it. I think Levi Kitchen has kind of been the most talked about rider that's been chirping back at him a little bit. They've been going back and forth. I think
Former
Levi,
teammates.
yep,
And
former
Levi's
teammates.
very much a, I'm gonna let my riding do the talking. Let's
Yeah,
settle
he's
this on
chill
the
guy. He's chill
track.
guy. But then he starts, then they start going back and forth a little bit. So something has poked the bear. And the thing about talking smack is it really gets hard to do when you can't back it up. You don't always have to do it. I'm not saying he's got to beat him every single time, but dude, you gotta pass him straight up a race or two. You
Yes,
gotta
sir.
show you're in the fight. And I put that with, I said the same thing about Chance Hymus last year. Joe Shimoda, another rider. I don't think we're gonna get a whole lot of smack talking out of Joe, but these guys have got to. They actually have to let their riding do the talking, because right now their riding is the thing that makes it easy to talk. So yeah, I don't I want to say I expect big things out of Levi, but man, I'll be honest. Like, I look at, the kind of the list that I've got written down. We've got Cody on here, Marchbanks. I just don't know if I see any of these guys really able to take it to Deegan. So yeah, right now he's still my favorite.
Yeah, it's Hayden's world. We're gonna be living in it for 2025, and honestly, until further notice. Brand new bike for Joe. I hate that for Joe. Levi Kitchen, also a brand new bike. I don't hate that for him nearly as much, especially after some conversations back and forth with the one, the only Mitch Payton, and Garrett Marchbanks getting back onto the West Coast, after a couple of years removed from racing that series. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he rode West last or East last year, although now thinking about it, I think I'm wrong about that. Either way, I think the Cowie boys are going to be coming out swinging, and that is bad news for Ryder D, Jet Reynolds, as well as Cody Shock. Those three guys are those guys are going to be fighting for the back half of the top five every single race. And for a guy like Cody Shock, who last year was third in points at the end, he's not going to be happy with sixth, seventh, and eighth. Like he wants to be up there. He wants to be in the fight. And you and I both know he's going to fight for it.
Yeah, I was about to say Cody Shock's kind of my one guy that I look at the list of, like, hey, this guy's maybe gonna get in the mix and steal some of these podiums away. I really think he's got some belief. He's obviously got a good push from that Club MX Yamaha team. Jet Reynolds, man, I don't know. The kid's got so much potential. We've seen it his whole life, but I honestly, I'd rather say, I'm glad to see Jet made it through the season than say, man, what could have been again, So that's the big thing for me right now is, I look at, I think Ryder D has got to prove something. I think he's got enough time in here now where it's like the new to the game is no more, man. You gotta start showing up. And so, not the same exact team there at Gas Gas. Maybe you gotta wonder whether the expectations are gonna be a little more fiercely put out there, whether that, the family dynamic, the fun dynamic of Troy Lee is still gonna be there anymore. Yeah, it's right now. I mean, it's hard to even Joe, I think, is a question mark, between the new bike and then just Joe. I mean, sometimes you're like, dude, what's going on? And so, I think more so for the 250 class than the 450 class, did you give Hayden Deegan the first three races? It's over. It's done. It's done. So, these guys have got to show up to A1. And they got to put Hayden on his back. They got to
Yeah,
make
I was
him
gonna say,
fight.
who of these guys, who's gonna rough him up? Like,
That's what I mean. And that's
is
what it's going
Garrett
to take
Marchbanks
because
the answer?
Garrett Marchbanks is the one where if he gets a good start and Hayden unnecessarily tags him, like just to do it in the first couple of corners, Garrett's liable to put him in the cheap seats. Because I don't think Garrett gives a fuck.
No,
Like, I think
he
Garrett
is
is,
like he wasn't born and then he fucks to give.
Exactly. So, yeah,
I love it.
I don't know if he does that and goes on to win that race, but he might be the guy to take it to Hayden. So
Yeah,
time will
like
tell.
I'm curious to like I like this one thing we haven't really seen is someone who can get under Hayden's skin and what
Yes.
that looks like.
Yes.
Like he's good at getting under other people's skin, but we haven't seen someone like actually get him irate.
Yeah.
But I think that's the analysis. I think this was fun. We started it right around the time that we had originally wanted to start this podcast. So I'm pumped on that, given the scheduling issues that we had, especially considering we had a time zone
International
miscalculation.
time zone conflict, so.
Eastern time, Central time, what have you. My new job has me not getting home until 5:30 my time, which is 6:30 your time, which it all would have worked out. But unfortunately, I live in a place where they do snow clearing on residential streets. So I am
No
now my
thanks.
both my vehicles are like at least a 3 minute walk away, 4 minute walk away, a couple blocks over. I had to
In
put
what? Like -20? Is that
it is
what's
me,
your
yeah, it's
temperature?
minus 20 today.
Dude.
And snowing. So I'm gonna
Insane.
complete my pizza order here on the podcast. We are gonna cut this thing off. Appreciate you, Zach. We might talk for a little bit off air here, but this is a lot of fun. Looking forward to Supercross and looking forward to the rounds 5 and 6 of Arena Cross coming at you.
Appreciate you, man. Absolutely. Have a good night.
Cool.